Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
There are some of you that are Browns fans that want me to come on here and mea culpa. I guess I don't really know what I'm supposed to mea culpa for. Like, this is what happens. When you say you want the Browns to lose, you want the Browns to lose only because I don't care about the Browns. I don't really care about the Jets. Don't. I just love futility streaks. I love when teams find a way to lose. You're like, no way they lose this game. And then they do. And it happened forever with the Browns. It happened this year with the Browns, the first two games. And it almost happened last night. Let's be honest. When Hugh decides to punt the ball late, okay, a field goal would give him a 7-point lead, or fourth and one, just get the damn first down. Run a little zone read. Hey, give Baker Mayfield some options. And run a little, all you need is 1 yard. The game is over. Instead, he punts it, and you're like, oh, boy. I mean, they've been panning to people hugging in the stands, and all I can think of was all of these dudes who thought the streak was over crying because somehow Sam Darnold led a miraculous comeback. It would be for naught. Darnold would throw it just kind of bizarre, throw it up to Robbie Anderson, interception, and that would be with that. Look, I don't think there's anyone who will argue that Baker Mayfield is going to be the starting quarterback, right? Like, good luck putting Tyrod Taylor, who sucked. He has just not been good. Like, could they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers? Yeah, they probably could have beaten the Pittsburgh Steelers. They should have beaten the New Orleans Saints. They did not. They did not. And he was awful last night. He was just awful. And so Baker comes in, and he lights a fire. They win the game, their first win since December of 2016. And that is essentially that. I mean, it takes the National Guard to get Baker out of it. Here's Hugh Jackson being wishy-washy after the game.
Obviously, I like to watch the tape. Obviously, Baker did some great things. I mean, again, we don't play until next Sunday. We got some days. Let's not get into those debates tonight. You know, obviously, what he did tonight was outstanding for the football team and for his teammates and just the way he competed. But again, I have to watch the tape, and we'll go from there.
We're doing the same thing we did with the John Gruden cut, aren't we? Right? People said, oh, you have to watch the tape. Oh, man, Hugh is just, he's just so, it's such so lame. He said I have to watch the tape, but he obviously played great. Like, just actually listen to the, we did this exact same thing with John Gruden. John Gruden said, pass rushers are hard to find. Great pass rushers, especially really hard to find. And then he went into a further sentence about, you know, you got to develop guys. College football is just different from the NFL. And it takes time to adjust. And we have a couple of guys who, it was like a much more thoughtful answer, which is the same thing as Hugh Jackson. But Baker's going to be the guy. And part of this is he's the number one overall pick. He was going to be the guy regardless. This process got sped up. And it ends up being perfect. Like the perfect team, the perfect time. And you get the perfect amount of time for him to prepare for a much more difficult schedule. But, you know, just because you're bad in your first game doesn't mean you'll be great. And just because you're great in your first game doesn't mean you'll be great. Is Marcus Mariota awesome? I don't know. His first game was against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Another one. Remember, matched them up. Matched them up with Jameis Winston. Right? And in that game, and remember, Tampa Bay, much like the Jets, terrible. And Marcus Mariota, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, 86.7 passer rating. They win 42-14. You're like, wow, Tampa made such a mistake. Now, Tampa may have made a mistake. They could. It's very possible that at the end of his, they picked up the fifth-year option. At the end of his fifth year, they may move on from Jameis Winston. Should be pointed out that Jameis Winston's coming off statistically his best year of his career. And Mariota, though his team went to the playoffs, let's be honest, they were so happy with how Mariota was doing, they fired the coaching staff. Right? They backed their way into the playoffs in a division to which Deshaun Watson got hurt, Andrew Luck was hurt, and the Jaguars tried to make us believe that they liked Blake Bortles last year. Like the Titans, they moonwalked their way into the playoffs. It's still yet to be determined if Marcus Mariota is good, is great, is bad. He's fine right now. But if you take his first game, and if you don't believe me on the argument of the first time you see somebody should not be the determinant of whether or not they're great, just look at Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold, Monday Night Football against the Detroit Lions, like, man, is he awesome? Me and Cowherd like, see, told you so. Well, we had to remember about Baker Mayfield. No one was saying Baker Mayfield sucked. People were saying Josh Allen sucked. Okay, there was no one saying Baker Mayfield sucked. What they said was, look, he's really developed because he's played with two unbelievable offensive minds when he played for Cliff at Texas Tech and then the entire group, but especially Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. He played for two of the best quarterback minds, offensive minds in college football. Plus, he has a high football IQ. Plus, he played as a freshman, started as a sophomore, junior, and senior at Oklahoma, played in two college football playoffs, was in three-time Heisman Trophy finalist, and won the damn thing. Like, he's played a ton of football. Super high football IQ. Better arm than Case Keenum in the same style. Probably better arm than Menzel. Not as good an athlete as a Russell Wilson. Probably not as good an arm as a Russell Wilson, but there's some similarities there to where people wanted you to believe that he was that guy. But the matchup was, would you rather have Sam Darnold for the next 10 years or Baker Mayfield for the next 10 years? And every GM I've talked to, and most GMs in the National Football League, with the exception of Cleveland, said, rather have Sam Darnold. It wasn't poo-pooing what Baker Mayfield had. So look, if you're Cleveland, enjoy the win. Couldn't have happened to a more deserving fan base. And it's pretty obvious they have dudes in the defensive side of the ball. When you draft in the top five every year for what seems like the past 15 years, eventually you're going to figure some stuff out. Even the dysfunctional Browns organization that has fired GM after GM and coach after coach and quarterback after quarterback, it's like the Jaguars, right? Like, the Jaguars are good now. Blake Bortles is played his best game as a pro, but the truth is, they're good, they're competitive because they've drafted so high so many years, eventually you figure it out. Pass rush is dynamic. But if you want me to buy in on Baker is better than Sam Darnold because of one half of football, everyone knew the Jets sucked. Their offensive line's bad. The Browns' defensive line is awesome. And, oh yeah, by the way, everything you're saying about Baker now, we said about Sam Darnold week one, and we had a whole game against the Detroit Lions who knew he was coming as opposed to the Jets who didn't know they were going to see Baker. So people will game plan. The schedule will get more difficult, and only time will tell. It doesn't mean you didn't get a good quarterback. I just don't believe you got the best quarterback. Everything you saw from Baker Mayfield last night was what we assumed you would see. Leadership, which I taught that he's not Manziel. Manziel was always about himself, and some guys liked it and some guys did not. Baker, guys loved at Oklahoma. Loved. Right? Baker does have a very good arm. Baker does have a tremendous football IQ. He does process things super quickly. The questions about him are size, ultimately arm strength in bad weather, which is coming in Cleveland, coming in the AFC North, and time will tell as people adjust to what they're doing and who Baker Mayfield is. But my desire to see the Browns lose had nothing to do with Cleveland. I could not possibly care any less. It was more, I love futility streaks. And we almost saw it last night. And I'm guessing, if you search your heart, you're probably like, no, I really want Cleveland to win. No, you didn't. You really want to see them lose. You're like, they always lose. Kind of in that same way in which you want to see Notre Dame lose, and yet Notre Dame, like Vanderbilt last week, like, find a way to win. I hate when Notre Dame finds a way to win, but they do. All right. Lot to get to. I mean, I'm looking at some of these stats from first starts. Andrew Luck, one touchdown, three interceptions, 51% completion percentage. Carson Wentz was okay. Remember, they beat the Browns, the terrible Browns team, 29-10, two touchdowns, no interceptions. There isn't necessarily a correlation. Deshaun Watson, trashed by the Jacksonville Jaguars last year. One touchdown, one interception, 46.4 quarterback rating. Then if you remember, they adjusted the offense, made it more college-like, and all of a sudden he took off. So I thought Mayfield was great. The energy was awesome. He enjoyed the moment. Browns fans enjoyed the moment. They drank up their Bud Light. And the Jets looked exactly like I thought they would look, and why I said you might think about sitting Sam Darnold, because he would be under so much duress, so much pressure. But the Jets have determined, they've weighed that and determined, hey, it's better for him to take his licks this year. He's going to take a lot of them.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The Red Sox are not, it does not appear that they will catch, they will win the most games in the history of baseball. It's 116 wins. The 1906 Cubs and the 2001 Seattle Mariners. Of course, the Mariners didn't even get to a World Series that year with Lou Piniella as their skipper. But the point is, while people were freaking out about it, this is really this. I know that we want to think that Kevin Durant joined the greatest team of all time, but he joined a 73-win team when half the league was tanking. And even some of the best teams weren't really going for it late in the year, and the Warriors were. They were going for the all-time record. That's why they were playing their best players in the fourth quarter when others were sitting there. The Warriors the year before had sat there, guys. They could have gotten more wins the year before. Let me help you make my point, okay? Red Sox have 104 wins, and we're 153 games into the season. So the likelihood is they'll end up with 110 wins. That's a lot. The Yankees, by the way, have 93 wins. They do not have the second most wins in the American League. That's the Houston Astros. The A's have 92 wins. Oh, yeah, and the Tampa Bay Rays. You're like, how good are they? 500? 85 and 67. Tampa's not going to make the playoffs. They're going to win over 90 games. How is this possible? Mariners could also win 90 games this year. They probably will. We mentioned the Mariners, 64 and 88. That's the record of the Orioles are 44 and 108. They are 59 and a half games back. The Royals, same thing. Dumped a bunch of salaries after winning a World Series and getting to the playoffs. They are 52 and 101. The Marlins, we know they're trying to be bad, 59 wins. Padres are playing for the year after next. Best farm system in baseball. Hope is very much on the horizon, but they've won 61 games for a reason. Reds, same thing, 66 wins. The point is that it's a microcosm of the economy, right? No middle class. There's nobody in the middle in sports anymore. You either go for it or you tank. And anything less, you end up as the Angels. We got the best player in baseball, and then you got the most overpaid former best player in baseball, and a ton of other injuries. I'm not trying to take away from what the Red Sox are doing. I'm trying to give context to it in that sports has changed. Teams at the bottom have decided, who cares what our record is? Let's get really bad, get good draft picks, develop our younger players. Don't worry about winning individual games. Nobody cares if you win 70 or win 50. They only care if you ultimately get to the playoffs.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Scott McLuhan's our guest. He's former general manager of the Redskins. He's also the founder of Instinctive Scouting. Was a consultant for the Browns in this year's draft. Part of the reason that the Browns decided to draft Baker Mayfield number one overall. Are you doing a victory lap today, Scott?
No. I'm very proud of him, though. You know, it's tough for a rookie, you know, especially when you come off the bench. But it didn't surprise me at all.
What's maybe most interesting is, and we had Michael Lombardi on, who's another former general manager earlier, and he's like, look, they obviously don't have a book. They didn't have a book on him, didn't know he was going to play. On the other hand, he didn't know he was going to play, and he was prepared for that moment. That's part of the understated part of Baker Mayfield, isn't it, that he really is – he studies hard, he's a football savant, and he's all in on the mental aspect of the game. True?
No doubt about it. You know, and the thing that's really cool about him, and I respect, and I've been around some really good quarterbacks, is the fact that, You know, he came in when once he was drafted. He wanted to start. You know, he walked on Texas Tech. He walked on Oklahoma. Started each time. Started the first game. And he expected to start, you know, week one this year. You know, and of course he didn't. But nah, he prepares as he's the guy. And that's, you know, you can't really teach that. That's just an inner drive, internal fortitude that makes him why he's had a good game and why he was prepared and why he's going to be good going forward.
What do you think of Darnold?
I like him. You know, he's talented. You know, it's the same thing. Teams are only as good as a supporting cast. You know, you could have a great quarterback, but they're few and far between. You need to have 10 guys on offense with you, and you need 11 guys on defense, 11 guys on special teams. And once you get to that, now you're building something. But he's going to be good. I think all four, you know, with Jackson, I don't know yet, just because I don't know how he's going to fit the system. But the four that were drafted before him, I think are all going to be good NFL quarterbacks.
Okay, so what do you do?
Two will be great. Two will be average.
What do you think? The Rosen thing, he's sitting there. They're paying Bradford a lot of money, but Bradford's, you know, checking down and doesn't seem like he has the fortitude to step up and throw the ball down the field. They're at a talent. They don't appear to have the overall talent to really compete. They got thumped first two games. How would you handle the Rosen thing?
Well, the thing about it is, the way you got to approach it is because you drafted him in the first round for a reason. Of course, you want him on the field as soon as possible, but also you got to realize what your O-line look like, what your back situation look like from the standpoint of pass protection on third downs. Because the last thing you want to do is have a David Carr incident, you know, what he had in Houston, where he got beat up so bad that he lost all his confidence. You know, that's a key thing. But I guarantee they want Rosen on the field as soon as possible, but they also want to protect him.
Scott McLuhan joining us, former general manager of the Washington Redskins. Alex Smith has not seemed fully comfortable. 24 passes to his running back so far. We're only two games into the season. That's number one in the National Football League. They added a couple wide receivers. Is it simply getting more comfortable, or is he a tough fit for Jay's system?
Well, I think if you look at it, and since Jay's been there, and especially with Kirk, you know, last couple of years, it's a lot underneath stuff, you know, and Alex proved last year that he can throw the deep ball. You know, he had a heck of a year, you know, of course, you know, percentage-wise down the field was excellent, you know, but a system's a system, and Alex is going to listen to whatever the coach says to do. He's not going to be Brett Favre for, you know, Baker from the standpoint, I'm just taking a shot. To heck with it.
Right.
You know, Alex was going to do exactly what he's told to do by Jay in Kavanaugh, the OC. And that's just who he is. But that's Jay's system. That's, you know, it's underneath. It's check downs and it's a lot underneath routes.
Last thing, Scott, I got about 30 seconds. I apologize. Pete Carroll says Russell Wilson has to play better. How much is on Russell? How much is on the line?
A lot's on the line. Russell Wilson's a really good football player, and if you give him time and let him improvise how he does stuff, he's exceptional.
Scott, thanks for joining us. We'll talk with you very, very soon. Scott McLuhan, former GM of the Redskins, Instinctive Scouting.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I want winners.
Well, we got them. Five NFL, five college.
Five on three. One, two, three.
Five. It's five for five with Doug Gottlieb.
Let's go, five.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. All right, look, we're all going crazy about Alabama, and we should go crazy about Alabama. I mean, really, really should. But they're taking on Texas A&M at home, and they are the number is just like one of those, what is it going to take to get you to bet on somebody other than Alabama? And the answer is the line for Texas A&M. That's really my line, right? I look at this number and I think it's too big. 26 points is too many for A&M. I know they're playing at home and they've played a game since, but they could have and maybe should have beaten Clemson. Had to go for two at the end, didn't get it. I think A&M keeps it within 26 points. I think Kelly Mond has been really, really good. I'm not trying to take anything away from Alabama. I think they win the game. I think it's a tougher than, he's not Johnny Manziel. He doesn't go in there and win. But A&M keeps it within maybe two touchdowns. And two touchdowns, you're smiling. I mean, really, really smiling. All right, so let's take A&M on the road. Georgia's going into Missouri. Missouri's a 14-point dog at home. Have you guys seen Drew Locke play? Again, I think Georgia's much better than Missouri, but they're playing in Columbia, and Drew Locke can put up some points. The over-under on this one is 64.5. They think there's going to be some scoring. I think Georgia's really good, but I think Missouri will score and keep this thing close, maybe even score some late, you know, Matthew Stafford style, put up some of them dirty points. Give me the home dogs in the Tigers. Here's one. Virginia's taking on Old Dominion. Virginia Tech is a 28.5-point favorite over Old Dominion, who's lost to Liberty 52-10, who's lost to Florida International 28-20, and to Charlotte, who does, in fact, now have a football program now. They lost to Charlotte. Yeah, I'm taking Virginia Tech in the points. Virginia Tech, and I know it's been a while since they beat Florida State, but this is a really good Virginia Tech team. I think they will handle business. This will be at one of those 50-7 type of games. I will take the big dog. We'll take the big number. Speaking of big number, West Virginia kicks off Big 12 play. They get Kansas State at home. They've had some time off. Will Greer is like a 10th-year senior, the transfer from Florida, who's a Heisman Trophy candidate. And this is not one of Bill Snyder's great teams. They struggled with South Dakota. They were blown out at home by Mississippi State. They played UT San Antonio. Don't care. I know the number's 16. I'm going to take West Virginia in that big number at home. Plus, I love to hear those guys. I love to hear the fans sing at the end of a game. All right, I got another home dog upset. Indiana's taking on Michigan State. Not a big buyer into Michigan State. Could have lost at home to Utah State. Did lose on the road to Arizona State. I'm going to take Indiana straight up against Michigan State. They are 6-point dogs, so I get 6 points to still end up winning the bet. IU is 3-0. They beat Ball State. Remember, Ball State gave Notre Dame a really good game. They beat Virginia, and they beat Florida International. This is a huge game for Indiana. It's not for Michigan State. I just don't think Michigan State is that good this year. It's really kind of my takeaway, has been all season long. Need one more pick, don't I? I need one more pick? Okay. Just want to make sure my math is right. It's been nine consecutive times Oklahoma State has beaten Texas Tech. Cliff Kingsbury, who played at Texas Tech, has never beaten Oklahoma State as a head coach. This line started at 11, and it's already moved to 14. Oklahoma State won big last week against Boise State. Why? Two block punts and a great pass rush. You're not going to block a punt 2 weeks in a row against Cliff Kingsbury. And you're not going to have a great pass rush because their quarterbacks don't hold the football. I love Texas Tech now that it's at 14.5 points. Give me Texas Tech as a road dog to cover. Those are my five college picks. Let's get to the pros, shall we? All right, we survived and got a dub last night for the Browns. All of us picking the Browns to cover, I believe. Did somebody pick the Jets? Somebody picked the Jets to cover. It might have been Ryan Music. That's why he's not on the show today, right? That's really what it is.
That's a good point.
I'm not a buyer into the Dolphins. I do think the Raiders are getting better. Raiders should have won on the road last week. They're getting 3 points. If it was 3 and a hook, I would love the Raiders. Right now, I like the Raiders. I'll take them and the 3 points. Vikings are at home against the Buffalo Bills. It's 16.5. And there's another one of those. What's the number have to be to which you'll pick the Bills? Not 16.5. I'm going to take the Vikings. Ravens are taking on the Broncos. People know I'm big on the Ravens, not on the Broncos. Broncos are 2-0, and they're 5.5-point dogs on the road. I think reality strikes in as the Ravens blow out the Broncos. Don't like, love the Ravens. Giants taking on the Texans. Not a buyer into the Giants at all. Deshaun Watson at home, gets a chance to settle himself, wide receiving core getting healthy, Texans will win, Texans will cover. Rams taking on the Chargers. Rams are 7-point favorites. 7-point favorites. But it should be pointed out that even though the Chargers are not the same without Joey Bosa, they're not. Derwin James playing at Pro Bowl level, even though he's just a rookie. Rams have had Greg the Leg's been hurt. That hurts them. And I think that's a lot of points. They played the Raiders, who are just okay, and they blew out the Cardinals. Chargers are used to playing on the road. Their home games can be road games. I think the Chargers covered this thing. I think this is a really good, hard-hitting football game. Still think the Rams win. Think it's close. They take the Chargers and the points. Lions take on the Patriots. Patriots are 7-point favorites over the Lions. Taking the Patriots and the points. Don't think home field is an advantage in Detroit. Remember, the Jets went in there and walloped the Lions. No reason to think that the Patriots won't do the same. And the Seahawks welcome in the Cowboys. Yes, the Seahawks were 4-4 last year at home for a reason. I'm not buying into the Seahawks. I'm buying into running the football as always. Remember, Ramos, your Rams team would beat the Seahawks by running the football, shortening the game, playing good defense, getting after the passer. Seahawks aren't healthy. You're not healthy. You're not that good. I don't care about home field advantage. Give me the Cowboys.
5-on-3. 1-2-3. There it is. 5 NFL.
Let's go, 5.
5 college. 5 for 5 with Doug Gottlieb. 5.